come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got two. 35, 30.
Broken interception.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, right here on Giants.com. Joined by Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. Big Blue Kickoff Live, 1 hour of Giants talk with you, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to get in touch with us that way.
Yes.
We'll have a guest today at around 12:10. Tom Rock from Newsday will join us, talk about the press conferences on Tuesday, and we'll look ahead to the Giants search as well for a new head coach. And Paul, you know, the shock and awe of Tuesday and Monday night has kind of lifted out of the building a little bit here, and things are seem to be settling down as this, I'm not going to call it lengthy and drawn out, but I'll call it thorough process now begins to select the new leader of the Giants organization.
You know, John, I'm not part of that process, but I'm already exhausted just being on the outside. I mean, this whole week has been incredibly draining physically, emotionally, mentally for, I think, anyone who's been around this facility. But the one good thing is that the Giants are already actively doing whatever it is they have to do to get the pieces in place to look forward to a productive offseason and hopefully, for their sake, get back to the playoffs. We know that Steve Spagnuolo and Ben McAdoo, the two coordinators, first two guys interviewed in the coaches' search, it does continue to go on. And, you know, John Mara himself said, sooner rather than later. Now, I don't know if sooner means a week, 2 weeks, 5 days. I don't know, but he did say sooner. So hopefully this process will move.
Well, obviously from the reports out of Philadelphia, you understand that it looks like the Eagles are trying to strike pretty quickly. They're already bringing in, if the reports are correct, Adam Gase for a second interview. So obviously they want to try to make a move quickly too, and that's why pace here is important, because with so many teams having coaching openings, one guy goes off the board, the next guy goes off the board, and it can happen in rapid succession in a matter of hours from time to time.
It can.
And then all of a sudden, you're out of candidates. So you have to make sure that you interview these guys as quickly as possible. So if you find the guy that you know you want, you can quickly get that second interview, go through the process. As John Mara talked about that process the other day, you bring in his fellow owner, Steve Tisch, and then they make a final decision. So it's important to make sure that you get who you want before another team sweeps in and sweeps that guy off his feet.
You know, we've been talking about this, too, for years, those of us who have worked around the National Football League, that the expanded playoff schedule does make things very difficult for teams looking for a coach, though, because you got to ask for your permission.
I love how you still call it the expanded playoff schedule. The wild card's been around for 25 years.
And then they added one, you know. And, you know, well, again, I'm from
funny.
The 70s. I mean, come on. What do you want?
I remember
the merger.
It's so funny.
I know.
I remember the merger.
I do.
I don't.
Anyway, the point is that when teams go looking for coaches now, you know, I know they've put certain triggers in place to where, okay, like during the bye week of the playoffs, you get the opportunity to ask for permission and the guy can do his interview and so forth.
And the rules, by the way, just to specify for fans, starting on Monday and Tuesday of next week, you could interview the teams that were on a bye in the first week and also teams that played and moved on. So next
Correct.
Week is the window
Correct.
For interviewing assistant coaches that are members of the playoff teams.
So, you know, that's a very critical time period for a number of teams who, of course, want to get guys who are either, quote, hot or guys who are coming from successful programs. Because
right.
by definition, if they're successful, they're in the playoffs. So this is something that you have to take into account when you're trying to put your list together, because maybe the guy you really, really want is already occupied with his current team.
And we got our first, I would say, really big surprise in terms of firings last night around the NFL. The Buccaneers announcing that Lovie Smith would not be back with them next year. A surprise, not necessarily because the Buccaneers' record was off the charts these last couple years, because it wasn't, but Lovie Smith is only there for two seasons. I thought, he did a pretty good job with Jameis Winston in his rookie year.
Yeah.
There were some bumps in the road, but I thought he had a pretty effective rookie season. And I thought the Bucs were pointing up. I thought they were making progress. And you know, 2 years is not a long time to give a coach to kind of put his stamp on a franchise. So now that's another guy, and probably, quite frankly, one of the more experienced candidates that are now on the market.
Yeah, I guess they won 2 games his first year there and then 6 this year.
Right.
But they were 6-6 and lost their last 4
Correct.
And fell out of the race.
Now, I was going back and forth with a fan on Twitter last night that was talking about what a bad job Lovie Smith did with the Bucs because Doug Martin still fumbled too much, Mike Evans dropped too many passes. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you're going to blame Lovie Smith for Mike Evans dropping
passes?
Well,
he put butter on their hands.
Well, no, his point.
He did. He said, he rubbed butter on their hands so they would drop the ball.
The coach can put the player in the right mindset so he doesn't drop those passes. And I went back and forth 3 times, and then I just gave up.
The only thing I will say about that, like when Coach Coughlin fixed Tiki Barber's fumbleitis, you can certainly teach technique to improve that kind of stuff.
And I think ball control is a lot easier to fix than a guy in the middle of a play, you know, concentrating on a ball going into his hands. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure his technique catching the ball is okay, but it's mental at that point, and it's split-second mental.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there is a certain type of mental discipline and focus that you can kind of, you know, teach your players that will help avoid some of these lacks of concentration, for lack of a better term or a better phrase. But I agree with you. Lovie Smith is certainly one of the bigger names now that's out on the market. And, you know, again, facts are facts. Before the 2004 season, he was a candidate with the Giants. He was interviewed. But Tom Coughlin was the guy that they decided on. So, but that's the past. And we could talk about history, because history is history.
And, of course, the two coaches we know the Giants are interviewing for the position, because John Mara mentioned in his press conference, are Steve Spagnuolo, Giants defensive coordinator, and Ben McAdoo, the Giants offensive coordinator. John Mara had some nice things to say about Ben McAdoo over the course of that press conference. Paul, very quickly, before we get to Tom Rock and Newsday, we'll have him in about a minute or two.
Sure.
Before we get to the fans at 201-939-4513, your take on those two guys and what they could potentially bring to the head coaching position.
Well, first things first is continuity. If either guy gets the job, there's continuity. And that's always been one of the primary goals of this Giants organization, no matter what happens with turnover and churn. Clearly, Ben McAdoo has done a great job with Eli Manning. There's no doubt. He's done a remarkable job of bringing the Giants into the next millennium, so to speak, of nouveau offenses, of high-powered, explosive, let's wing the ball out kind of stuff. And so, excuse me, I think, you know, that's your primary deal with McAdoo. He's also a younger generation coach, too.
38?
Yeah, I mean, a lot younger than me, I'll tell you that, as you remind me every day.
That's a real long list, Paul.
Yeah, I know it is. Spags, what does he bring? He brings all of his football acumen, the fact that he's a player's coach, that he's incredibly well-liked. He certainly knows his X's and O's. And throughout his coaching career, now despite some of the downs that he's had, Spags has also always shown throughout his coaching career that when he had enough of clay to mold, boy, I'll tell you what, he got the job done.
And as John Mara said, the problems with the defense this year can be linked back to not having enough championship caliber players on that side of the field.
That's what Mr. Mara told us.
And there's no doubt about it.
There is no question. He said you can't hide from it.
Yes.
So, you know, that's an interesting dynamic too, because now you say, well, if Spags is going to be the guy, well, there's continuity. There's a guy who clearly knows how to get things done when all the pieces are in place. Look, I don't think either one of those guys you can go wrong with, to be perfectly frank with you. I really don't. But who knows if they're going to get it.
All right, fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. On our special guest hotline is Tom Rock. He covers the Giants for Newsday. Short notice today, Tom. I appreciate you joining us on the show. We've had a couple days of distance now from our Tuesday press conference. I think we've all had a chance to kind of reflect after all the emotions of, you know, Tom Coughlin's wonderful speech have kind of melted away. Now that you had some distance looking back, Tom, what's your impressions of the day as a whole?
Well, it was kind of an interesting speech, because that's kind of the thunder that you usually hear from a guy getting the job, not leaving the job.
You're right.
And I couldn't help but think while he was going through this that, you know, Giants need to hire somebody like this. not part ways with him. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic. He obviously stole the show. I didn't think Jerry's performance was all that great. It was obviously a tough act to follow with Tom, and John is always seems to be hitting the right notes. But overall, I think that moment when Tom looked at Eli, that was pretty real, and that was good stuff.
You know, Tom, you look at this Giants franchise, and yeah, they've got to select a head coach. They got to figure out what they're going to do with their staff. Both Jerry Reese and John Mara also said that they're evaluating their personnel department as well. So there's a lot of moving parts here, a lot of moving parts, in addition to the fact that they've got approximately 30 free agents that they got to deal with this offseason. Your impression of step-by-step, what has to be done in what order?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of changes that have to take place in terms of who makes the decision. That's got to be the first decision that's made. And you look at the front office, and there could be some attrition there. You see Mark Ross going off to interview for some GM jobs. Kevin Abrams going off to interview for some GM jobs. So there could be turnover there without even the Giants wanting it. So there's going to definitely be changes. You look at the you try and put together a plan for how to go forward. I think you need somebody to come in, and you need to add talent to the defense. That's first and foremost. Every level of that defense needs to be restructured and reseeded. The pass rush, the defensive front, the linebackers, the secondary. They're all every one of them. When you watched the team this year and you saw the guys that they were heading out putting out there on the field, it was a little head scratching to even contemplate how they were able to stay in some of those games. Never mind, blow the blade. That was more of a that made more sense to me than the fact that they were able to stay in those games at those points. So I think the defense needs to be redone. The offense, I'd like to see. I think Shane Vereen, I think he was misused a little bit. Or underused maybe, and you certainly have Eli and Odell, and that's a potent combination. You need somebody else there. I think the offensive line rebuild is coming along. You certainly have three pretty solid players. You need another two on that right side. So there's a lot to get done here in the next couple of months before the Giants take the field.
You know, Tom, you mentioned potential attrition in the front office with some of the things that you talked about. John Mara did mention perhaps reviewing how this team evaluates players going forward and their methods. When you take a look at kind of what's happened and what you're hearing, what are some of the adjustments they can make and how they evaluate talent when they decide who they want to draft and bring in free agency?
Right. Well, I think we've already seen some of that in the last two drafts in particular. In terms of free agency, last year they were so focused on fixing special teams, and I think they did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
But they were asking those guys to take on roles. Jonathan Casillas had to be a defensive player, and Dwayne Harris, who did a nice job as a wide receiver, but ideally you probably didn't want him to take that many offensive reps. So they did a good job of that. I think they need to break the bank a little bit of this, and they're gonna have a lot of money here going in. There's going to be a lot of talent on the market. They got to make some smart decisions. You don't want to overpay for somebody just because he's the top available at that position. And I think that may be what they did with a guy like Schwartz a couple of years ago, where they needed an offensive lineman. He was the best offensive lineman out there, so they paid him top offensive lineman money. I don't think that's the right strategy going forward.
Tom, the Giants are in a unique position now where they could really, if they wanted to, significantly change the direction of this football team. They could stick with offensively the same philosophy, the West Coast offense, basically, that Ben McAdoo installed. Mm-hmm. Or they could just say, you know what, let's go back to the more of the Gilbride philosophy. They could do that if they want to. Certainly, that's something Eli knows. Defensively, they could, if they wanted to, right now say, oh, you know what, we're going to go in such a different and unique direction defensively. We're going to become a 3-4 team, and we're not going to do any of the 4-3 stuff anymore. We're just going to basically blow the whole thing up because we know the defense has to be rebuilt anyway.
And there are so few players signed on that side of the ball.
So, I mean, what is your impression?
That's a good point. I mean, John Mara said there's no one right way to coach a team. There's no right one right philosophy. So I think they're open to a lot of different areas. You know, this search is going to be extensive. He said, I think right now we're just kind of in the throat clearing process here of finding the next Giants head coach. You know, they're kind of going around to these assistants and coordinators and some of them in-house and some of them are appealing candidates, but you know, I haven't come across one yet that really has the gravitas, the persona, the kind of oomph, I guess, that you're going to find in a head coach. Listen, they're not going to get somebody with Tom Coughlin's resume. That guy's not out there. But just with his type of presence that he has, you know, I think they really need to fill that vacuum now. And they lost out a couple of years in free agency on filling the vacuum of leadership on the roster when they let Tuck go and they let Antrell go. Listen, those players have certainly an expiration date on them, and I'm not saying that they made a bad decision in terms of having those guys on the field, but they didn't really take into account, I don't think, what they meant off the field and replace that element of it. And I think that when it comes to replacing Tom Coughlin, I think that's probably the most important thing that they can do is find somebody who's going to be, you know, to use kind of a cliche, a leader of men and let the X's and O's figure themselves out.
You know what's funny, Tom? We're talking a lot about X's and O's and philosophies and type of football that the Giants are going to play under the new guy, but usually when a coach exits and a new coach comes in, especially after a non-playoff season, they talk about how that new guy is going to be personality-wise and dynamic-wise totally the opposite of the guy who left. Like, remember when Jim Fassel left the
right.
Giants?
Yes.
Tom Coughlin was exactly the opposite in terms of his aura of what Jim Fassel was. I don't get the impression, at least it's the feel that I get, that the Giants aren't exactly looking for someone who's diametrically opposite than what Tom Coughlin was as a guy.
Well, you know, the situation, Tom Coughlin left diametrically opposite to what he was when he got there.
That's true, too. That's a good point, Tom.
he already changed. You know, which part of Tom Coughlin are you going to go opposite of? You know, the guy who says to the team, I love you, before the Super Bowl, or the guy who's, yelling, screaming at people for their socks on the practice field is... So he's such a complex guy that I don't think you can definitely clarify him as a player's coach.
Great point.
I withdraw the question.
All right, Tom. We're joined by Tom Rock, covers the Giants for Newsday. When you take a look at this head coaching search, Tom, where do you think the Giants are going to prioritize what's most important to them when they interview some of these candidates? How important is it, say, to keep Eli in the same offensive system? John Mara said at his press conference, we'd like it, but you have to get the right guy regardless. How important is head coaching experience? How important is, head coach, professional versus college? How important is defense versus offense? What's your impression of what the Giants are looking for and is most important to them when they talk to these candidates?
Yeah, I don't know that college and NFL head coaching experience are necessarily, I don't think that you rule out somebody just because they haven't been a head coach in the NFL if they've been a successful head coach in college. So far, the Giants haven't dipped into those waters yet with the interviews that we're seeing, but that may come. And so you look at people like Brian Kelly and David Shaw, and certainly they're enticing candidates. But in terms of promoting somebody without head coaching experience, I'd be a little leery of that because there's such a big difference between being a coordinator and being a head coach. And the shock value of that under the microscope in New York with all the pressure to turn this thing around real quick, I think that could be a little overwhelming. And I've seen that happen with Eric Mangini. I've seen it happen with, we've seen it happen elsewhere too, where assistants come in and they can't quite get their feet under them before they're already being taken out. So, but then you look at a guy like Rex, and he did okay coming from that background, from a coordinator to a head coach in New York, but he had that oversized personality and that presence and that gravitas that we talked about. So I think what you're looking for beyond the X's and O's, listen, this isn't a Ben McAdoo offense. This is a West Coast offense. There's half the guys in the league run some version
Absolutely.
Of it. You know, just because you bring somebody in who's not Ben McAdoo doesn't mean that you're trashing this entire system. There's plenty that you can salvage. There's plenty that you can keep. And to think that they're going to go into next year with the same offense anyway, even if Ben McAdoo stays, is a little silly, because the offense is always evolving. The offense is always changing based on the personnel and what they have available. So I'm not so sure that, you know, I think it's more of an emotional attachment than an actual football attachment that Eli has to this offense, and his apparent unwillingness to, distancing himself from wanting to learn a new system. So I think you look for not a system. You're not looking for the right system. You're looking for the right guy. You're looking for the right man. You're looking for somebody who can stand in front of the 53 men on that team and get them excited and get them going and get them out the door and onto the field. Different systems win all the time. You look at the last couple of Super Bowl teams. They're all different. They all have different pieces. The Seahawks certainly relied more on their running game. You had the true pocket passer and Tom Brady. Russell Wilson running around, Colin Kaepernick almost won a Super Bowl with a completely different system. So I agree with John Mara. There's not one system. What you're looking for is somebody who can stand there and be a general and lead. And that goes beyond what a guy did as a coordinator, I think. You can only know that from experience. You can only know that from him having done it before. And so that's why I think being a head coach at some level is more important than having NFL experience versus college.
You know, Tom, and you mentioned how big of a jump it is from being a coordinator or an assistant coach to being a head coach. And I think some fans at times can get a little nervous when some names are mentioned, maybe of guys who have had jobs and they lost them in short order. How valuable do you think it is, some of these guys that might be getting talked about that were assistants, were a head coach, maybe did not do so well, but perhaps could have learned some lessons from that experience and could be better a second time around?
You mean like what happened with Bill Belichick?
Exactly.
Or
Pete Carroll. Or Pete Carroll. There's a lot of people on that list.
Pete Carroll, there's a lot of guys who, it's up to the guy to learn from that experience, I think. And so, I mentioned Mangini before, and he learned a little bit, but then he went to Cleveland, and that's just a black hole for careers anyway.
For everybody, I think.
I don't think that's a fair shot. But I think if the guy learns from what he did there and what he wasn't able to do there, and sort of has a better picture of what he wants his program to look like, then I think the experience is more important than the success, I guess is what I'm saying,
right.
And so you want somebody who's been there. That's why candidates like Lovie Smith. It sounds like Leslie Frazier is going to be available now. From what I saw on Twitter just a while ago, he's not coming back as a defensive coordinator down there in Tampa. Those guys have been in the chair. They've made the decisions, and whether or not they were right or wrong at the time, they all add up to what they're going to do in the future. And if you can learn from those mistakes and learn from those things that got you fired elsewhere, then I think it's probably a good sign and something that the Giants want to look at. Even Tom Coughlin, I mean, I wouldn't term his tenure in Jacksonville as a failure, but he certainly, it certainly ended poorly, and I'm sure there was a lot of things that he learned there that he brought to the Giants that helped him get over the hump here and get to two Super Bowls.
Good stuff, Tom. I'm done.
Yeah, nothing else, Bob?
I'm done. I'm ready to let him go and have lunch.
All right, well, Tom, really quickly, final question from me. I know fans are going to be all over this. What do you think the timetable is going to be for this? Are we talking more than a week? Are we talking by the end of next week? What's your feel for how quickly this thing might get done?
I think by the end of next week, they'll have a sense of who they want. And now it all depends on where they're coming from. And, a guy like Josh McDaniels, how far are they going to go into the playoffs and things like that? Where this guy is coming from. But my sense is that in about a week or two, we'll have a pretty good idea of where this is going. Right now, like I said earlier, this feels like a lot of throat clearing to me. Jerry Reese has never interviewed a head coaching candidate, so this is his first opportunity. So I'm sure they want to give him a little bit of a chance to kind of get used to that dynamic, and be in the room for those things. So, John and Jerry are going to do what they call an extensive search, and I think that means that it's not going to be over this weekend.
All right, Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you down the road. Tom Rock from Newsday, and we'll probably be seeing you here in a couple weeks, Tom, for another press conference.
Thanks, Tom.
Probably. All right, enjoy the off-season, guys.
Tom, what off-season?
Yep.
Thanks, man. That's Tom Rock from Newsday. I love Tom to death.
Off-season. He's a good guy.
That's funny. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. And the reason I asked Tom that question, we're going to get right to your calls in a second at 201-939-4513. You've been waiting patiently. The reason I asked that question, I think a lot of times fans freak out when they hear a name, and it's like, well, that guy, he only lasted 3 years here, and he got fired. He must be terrible. That's not always the case. You know, sometimes these guys, they might not have success in their first place, but it could be for a variety of reasons. It could be talent. It could be not handling the head job well right away. Mm-hmm. You know, being a head coach in any major sport, and the National Football League's included in that, is one of the hardest jobs you can have. I mean, it's the same thing when you're looking to elect these people for being president. There's no job to prepare you for being president.
Right.
And being the head coach of a football team, it's basically this responsibility. Everything falls on you. The buck stops there. There's nothing that can get you ready for that. So I agree with Tom to a certain extent that experience in the chair is important. But at the same time, you look at some other coaches, like, say, Mike McCarthy, never a head coach, comes in, takes over, and he takes over the job, and he's great. And you found the young star that was a coordinator, and look what he's become. So there's no true way, but I don't want to eliminate a lot of these paths that some people might think are too risky.
I think, really, what you're trying to say is, John, that when you look at a guy who's had head coaching experience in the league, the record is by far not the only thing you should be looking at.
No, it can't be.
It can't. It just can't. And, in fact, to be honest with you, it's probably a lot lower on my list than what the fans list would be.
Well, quite frankly, you know, a lot of the fans out there, you know, wanted Tom Coughlin to remain. But if you're a team out there and you're looking to hire a new coach and you say, you know, boy, Tom Coughlin, his last 3 years with the Giants, he had a combined record of, you know, 19-29. But if you ask Giant fans that watched all the games, what do you think of Tom Coughlin?
Yeah.
So there's obviously a lot that goes into that. 201-939-4513. Let's get to the calls. Andre in Rochester has been holding the longest. He'll lead us off on Big Blue Kickoff Live today. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Andre. Go ahead.
Always love listening to you guys. Show you guys got good chemistry.
Thanks, Andre. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my first thought of the interview, my hat's off to Tom Coughlin. Love him. He's a great coach. I think Jerry Reese still has to go. He got asked a question about the linebackers, and it's like he totally disregarded the question, saying the whole team needs to be evaluated. No, Jerry, it's those linebackers. If you watch all the games, our linebackers were destroyed every single game. Not one play was made by a linebacker.
Well, Andre, all I can say about the comment on the general manager is that John Mara said during the press conference he has faith in Jerry Reese to turn this around. So he's going to be the guy in the chair. You know, you might disagree with it, but right now that's the direction ownership is going in. So that's the deal going forward. In terms of the linebacker position, look, they brought in guys last year. John Beeson got hurt, which could have been a surprise based on his history in the pass ball. I mean, we talked about that before the season, obviously. It's a huge risk, and other guys were shuttled in and out. Devon Kennard got hurt for the second time in as many years, which is a problem. You got to make sure this young guy stays healthy. He had injury problems in college, too. But, look, I don't think there's any doubt, Andre, that among other places on defense, and linebacker's not the only position when you look at how it did last year,
sure,
that the linebackers are going to have to get better. I don't think anybody doubts that.
I agree.
Yeah. And as far as if I was to play GM, I think Steve would probably be a greater fit because
who?
You don't go outside. Steve Spags.
Oh, Spags. Okay, Spags.
Yeah, that way you don't got to change the system too much, and he could concentrate on a defensive-minded team. You know what I mean? And that's my final thought.
Thank you, okay. Andre. Hey, look, I think Steve Spagnuolo, and again, you look at Steve Spagnuolo's assistant coach record, and thanks for the call, Andre. We appreciate it. You know, you look at his record as a defensive coordinator's last couple of spots, and this is same what we talked about, a record for a head coach that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. You know, the Saints, the year he was there, they had the worst defense in football, but Bounty Gate, moving parts, lack of talent. That team was a mess. This past year for the Giants, you're John Mara said at the press conference, the defense did not have enough good players on it for him to be successful. So, you know, I would hesitate to judge Steve Spagnuolo on the success of the last two defenses he coordinated. However, that will factor into it. But more importantly, it's the type of guy that he is. We see how he communicates with the players, Paul. We see how he reaches these guys. He can be firm, but much like Tom Coughlin, he can connect with them on a personal level as well. And I think he has a lot of the characteristics you want to see out of a head coach when it comes to a communication.
Let me just give you a little bit of a hypothetical here. The inverse is not always true. Like what John's talking about, you know, we know the Giants lacked players on defense. You can be a good coach, lack players, and not necessarily get the desired results. But now, inversely, if you have good players.
Or great players,
and then you don't get the desired results, now that points more to the coach.
Or even if you would have, what happens if you have great players and you get great results? That doesn't necessarily mean that you're a great coach, for example. And it doesn't mean that those skills are going to translate to the head coaching position either.
Does not always
equate. For example, there's a laundry list. We can go through 10 guys just in the last decade or two that were fantastic coordinators, and they didn't work out as head coaches of teams. I mean, look, Ken Wisenhunt's been let go again. Again, I think there's talent issues there too. But look at Wade Phillips. He's had multiple opportunities. He's a defensive coordinator. He's fantastic. The head coaching thing hasn't worked out for him. Romeo Crennel, something that happens close
to
home.
No question.
Another guy, fantastic coordinator. Oh, here's another one on the offensive side of the ball. Charlie Weiss,
yes.
Excellent job as an offensive coordinator, didn't work out as a head coach. So that's not necessarily a correlation that is 100% true every time.
Yeah, Weiss, head coach in college, though.
Correct.
Yeah, but I know I get your point, and it's quite clear. You just it's almost a trial and error kind of thing with those guys, and you hate to say that, but in reality, until they are in the right situation, it's hard to evaluate these guys. I will only say this about Spags. In 2007 and 2008, when the Giants were cooking good and were champions one year and virtually champions the next until things went bad.
The best
offense,
regular season team, at least, and they had very good players, by the way.
They ranked 5th in the league in defense and 7th in the league in defense.
And
so he had players, and he coached them well.
And by the way, Bob Papa, who just started a podcast, by the way. You can check it out on Bob Papa's Twitter page. You can download it and check it out. He interviewed Phil Sims. That's going to be going up tomorrow on his podcast. And Phil said, look, I looked at the Giants' defense this year, and I liked the stuff they were doing scheme-wise. And, you know, Steve Spagnuolo was disguising stuff. He was being creative. He was trying to make the most of what he had. And he did not in any way put the Giants' failures on defense this year on the scheme. He thought Spagnuolo did a good job, so that's just
Phil would know.
Phil Sims would know, and he loves looking at tape. Phil, he's not one of these analysts that go in and mail it in on these games. He watches a lot of stuff.
Agreed.
Brandon, New Jersey, you're up next. What's up, Brandon? How are you, pal? Brandon,
man.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what's going on?
How are you, pal?
Good. Now I want to touch on a couple of things.
Sure.
Now first, I think we need to fire the strengthening coach. The guy that strengthened the guys up for the offseason, he got to go. That's where the problem happened. People is not saying it.
Well, Brandon, Brandon, the odds are if you bring in a new head coach, he's going to bring in his own guys anyway. So I wouldn't worry about that right now.
Okay. Now, second, I believe that is only really three coaches out there that are true Giant coaches.
Really?
Ben McAdoo. We could bring him in. That's all fine and well with Danny. Bill Cowher. Keep a name out on that. He's hungry. And what Jerry Reese was saying in that press conference, that he wants somebody hungry in there that don't care about the paychecks and just want to get back to another Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl. Bill Cowher. And third, I like Lovie Smith, but I believe his team would be soft a little bit. We're not really known for being soft, but Lovie Smith's team's been soft.
Well,
he's
Brandon.
He's not a bad guy to bring in, too.
Brandon, a couple things.
And I like Leslie Frazier, too.
A couple things on that, Brandon. One, Lovie Smith's teams in Chicago were anything but soft. When you had, you know, Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher and all those guys, those were
right.
Not soft teams, for one.
Number two. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Number two on Bill Cowher, how do you know he's hungry? My impression, and again, I haven't talked to anybody close to Bill Cowher, but I talk to people in the TV industry, and I know people that interact with Bill pretty regularly, and from what I understand, he's pretty darn happy with what he's doing. He gets to work. He gets to work.
Don't approach Bill Cowher. You think he won't take that job?
Brandon, hold on, one second. I want to put you in Bill Cowher's shoes for a second, okay?
Right.
You're sitting there. You get to work 1.5 or 2 days a week. One day you're on TV, and the other day you travel. You make probably, I don't know what Bill's making. I'm assuming he's making seven figures, all right? You work 2 days a week. So you want to give that up, and you spend. He's a new wife, from what I understand. He has young girls that I think are in college, if I'm not mistaken, or just getting out of college. You're going to give all that up and put your whole life on hold to work 7 days a week, work 18 hours a day, and throw your family life, which you've built back up over the last, what, 5-6 years, and flush it back down the toilet for a couple extra $1 million a year. Because that's basically what it is.
Put it that way. I'm listening.
And that's it. I'm done. I'm done.
You're right about that, but I believe he's a giant coach, yo. I believe Cowher would take the job. But the only thing about Ben McAdoo, I think he would take – he'd change us to a 3-4. I believe we need to go to a 3-4. We go to a 3-4, I think Ben McAdoo will go to the 3-4, and he'd probably bring in Tom Clemens from the Packers for the offensive coordinator.
Just remember one thing. If you're going to go 3-4, you better get a boatload of linebackers in here. Because you need a lot.
The problem is the linebackers. Maybe we need to go get a bunch of linebackers and turn into a 3-4 and see where we go from there. Tom, if you want to make a change, let's go out and make the change. Let's go to a 3-4.
I'll tell ShopRite to start stocking those linebackers for you right now because you don't get them off the shelf very easily.
I hear you.
All right, Brandon, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
One more thing.
Finish up.
Lovey's not a 3-4 guy. He's a 4-3 guy.
That's correct.
But if we really want to stay 4-3, we could go with Lovey. I'll bring in Lovey in for an interview and see. I believe that could be a nice fit if we don't get Cowher or McAdoo.
All right, Brandon.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, dude.
I don't want to necessarily address Bill Cowher himself because I haven't talked to him and I don't
Neither
know
do
him.
I.
But here's what
I'll say is that if I'm in that chair, I'm enjoying my broadcasting career, and I'm thrilled about it that I don't have to work 18 hours a day. That's me. Maybe I'm lazy, but that's me.
I would say this, hypothetically speaking, though, you do have to think in your mind, do you want to consider a coach who has perhaps an experienced and winning resume but who has not been in it for a few years?
That's a great point.
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. That's another part of that equation that you must compute, because there's certainly going to be I don't want to say a disconnect, but if the guy hasn't been in the league for 3, 4, 5 years,
what was his last year as head coach?
I want to say it's about 6 or 7, isn't
08,
it?
Right?
Yeah, it's about 6 or 7 years, isn't it?
I'm going to look it up.
Was it almost even more than that now?
I think it's 07 or 08.
So,
last year
you know,
Steelers.
At what point do you say too many years out of the game is too many?
Yeah,
and I don't know.
There's a lot of things change in the league in 7 or 8 years.
I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know.
And I'm, again, that's subjective, and every individual organization has to make that decision. I'm not telling you I'm in position to make it. What I'm saying is I think it's a valid question. That's all.
It is. I agree. Let me see if I can get his coaching years up here. The internet here moves not too fast. All right, here we go. He was 2006.
Wow.
That was his last year. So it's been –
Nine
seasons.
Yeah.
It's a lot of seasons.
It is. It is. And then, of course, the other question you have to ask, again, hypothetical of candidate X, does he want to just coach or does he also want some of that front office stake?
Which is something the Giants have never done before.
And John Mara's already told us that Jerry Reese is my general manager and he's going to fix this. So guess what? If they're going out to get Coach X is going to be a coach.
And he's going to work with General Manager
and
Jerry
he's going to work with General Manager Correct. Jerry Reese. He's not going to replace him. So, I mean, that's another factor.
201-939-4513. Conrad is in Manhattan. Conrad, what's going on, pal?
Hey, great show, guys. Wanted to comment on the rumors that's out there as far as the coaches that that are supposed to be coming in. I think Lovey Smith is a good guy from what I've seen, but I don't think I want him as my head coach. And the only reason why, not because I don't think he's a good defensive coordinator or a good defensive coach, I just think that bags, given the tools that he was given this year, and it just didn't have a chance to really put up top 10 defense out there when he had the tools. And now, I'm sorry, Antonio Pierce, I love him as a leader, but he wasn't an all-world type of linebacker, you know, prior to being coached by Spags. So I think Spags have a record of taking guys and really pulling, you know, their best potential out of them. So I would like him to stay. Now, I would also like for McAdoo to stay. And the reason why I say this is because I think that the good thing about the teams that are successful throughout the NFL is a matter of being consistent throughout. And I would love the consistency to stay within the organization of the Giants. I understand Coughlin is not here anymore, and that, I'm not happy about that. But why not give McAdoo a shot or Spags? I don't want McAdoo to go with Philly. You know, I don't want him to be off the team. I think we've had success with him 2 years in a row with Eli, and I do understand that it's a West Coast offense, but there are some things that are put in there from the coach based on his quarterback. You know, he look at Eli. Eli is definitely not the same type of player as Aaron Rodgers, but he was able to get Eli to perform at a high level, which Eli was going to do anyway because he's a great quarterback. So why break that consistency? Why not keep it together, give him a shot, and let's see what we have? I don't believe in going out there and bringing in other guys just going to come in and turn the whole organization around. If you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and their history, I think they've only had, you know, three head coaches. And for the Giants, we've had a few, and I think the best years that we've had, you could see with Tom, you know, and Bill, we had a coach and we have an organization and a roster that was there consistently year in and year out. I'm not a big fan of bringing in, you know, another coach to coach the team. I think that, you know, the general manager, Andre called earlier and said that Reese didn't do a good job. I agree. I didn't think this was his best job, but you can't really fault the man for John Beeson being injured. I fault him for not bringing in a backup, a valuable backup. But if you look out there, there wasn't no stud linebackers that was out there that, you know, he could have really went and got. You know, Kennard is a stud, I think, but he got hurt. If those linebackers, if the players that we have don't get hurt, I don't believe that, you know, the team, that the defense would have been as bad as they looked.
No, Conrad, it wouldn't have been, but every team deals with injuries throughout the league, and you have to adjust.
I completely agree, and I think that that's where the general manager could have done a better job as far as, like, adjusting and bringing in better players to adjust with. But I don't think Reese is just sitting down and his staff is not, they're not doing anything right. It's a matter of what's out there and what's actually available. I don't think he's going to sit there and go, okay, you know what, there's a stud linebacker out there that just was, you know, dropped off somebody's team, and the Giants are just ignoring him.
No, of course,
you know,
not.
So,
go ahead, Brad.
Conrad, let me before you go, and I know your connection was a little bit flaky there, but the one thing I want to say is don't preclude the fact that it's entirely possible, even if Coach McAdoo does not get elevated to the head coaching job, there's nothing that guarantees that he won't be here. It's always possible that if the Giants go outside and bring in a new head coach, maybe that new head coach from the outside says, Coach McAdoo, you've done a great job with Eli Manning. Maybe we'd like you to stay.
And there are rumors out there that the Eagles and Conrad, thanks for the call. Your noise line's a little noisy there. But you know, I think a lot of Giant fans are panicking a little bit because they see the notes in all the Philadelphia papers about the Eagles' interest in McAdoo and all that stuff.
That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's why a rumor is a rumor. By definition, it's not a fact.
An interview is an interview. A hire is a hire. It's two very different things.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Sheila in Virginia. Sheila's up next. What's going on, Sheila?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
My question is, hi. I just would like to say I believe the Giants did the right thing. We lost games. I think we had enough talent on the offensive side of the ball to win the game because it came down to the last few seconds of a couple of games. So I believe that the play calling in the red zone did the Giants season in if they would have just run the ball. And what I would like to see is I would like Bill Cowher, because I believe that he would bring a physicality back to the team that was missing. You know, the fullback position, looking at Seattle with the two big tight ends and the fullback, I think the physicality was missing from the Giants, and I think Bill Cowher would bring that back. Even though he's been out of the sport, he's looking, he can survey the field, he's seeing it. And if not Bill Cowher, then we need someone like maybe Sean McDermott. But I do know Bill Cowher, what the Giants need is a leader of men. And McDermott is kind of young. I think he's 41, I'm not sure. But I think he would have a formula for beating the Eagles. But I don't necessarily want to see McAdoo back, because that was a problem I had with Coughlin this year. He did not pull McAdoo aside and say, hey, let's run it in the red zone. I did not like the passes in the red zone to unreliable players.
I would say this about the names you just mentioned.
I'd rather see a physicality brought back on the offensive side of the ball, such as what Seattle had with the fullback and the two big tight ends. And I think that was missing. The defensive line has to be fixed. That's a whole different story. But on the offense, I think we had enough talent to even win. Because the games were lost in the last few seconds.
Sheila, we don't know. Now, there are a number of coaches' openings around the NFL. They're already started to pop free.
Yeah.
And Bill Cowher, to my knowledge, has not publicly accepted an interview for any of them. Is that right, John?
I haven't heard anything.
Right?
No.
So I do question whether or not he wants to coach anymore. Because
I'm sure they'll ask him on the CBS pregame show this weekend.
I'm sure they will. So check it out and see if he says he's got the itch. Because if he's not coming out of the booth, then you got to cross him off your list of candidates automatically. I would say this. If the Giants were to be interested in McDermott, they certainly have a good guy to ask in Dave Gettleman about a reference. I mean, certainly he would be able to tell them very honestly and very completely, if that's a guy they wanted to talk to, he'd be able to tell them all about him. And so you can rest assured they will have done their homework if he's a guy that they're thinking about.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Remember, folks, your fantasy football season is over. We're in the playoffs, but you can still play on DraftKings, so make sure you go check it out. I've got a couple quotes for you here from Mr. Cowher. I just did a little Google search.
Oh, and how new are these?
I Googled it. This story is from January 3rd, 2015.
So be a couple of days.
Jim Miller, specifically, this is on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Got to give credit. He was on with Jim Miller, and I'm guessing Pat Kerwin. That's usually the team that they
have. Oh, they're great.
Afternoon.
I love Pat.
A lot of X's and O's, so Paul Dottino loves that.
Yep.
Here we go. Jim Miller asked Cowher specifically if he still has, quote-unquote, the itch to coach. Here is his answer. It was great this year to be on the sidelines for some of the Thursday games for CBS and get to be up close to it. You see the officials. You see some of the assistant coaches. You see them. It does get your blood going. But no, I'm in a really good place. I really enjoy my job at CBS. I'm enjoying all the involvement with that. And the Thursday football, it's good. You're not going to see me on the sidelines. I enjoy it. You miss it. But not enough to get back. And now a story from ESPN. I'll bring this up too. This story from ESPN.com News Services from January 4th. Former Pittsburgh Steelers coach Bill Cowher won't return to coaching next season. In fact, Cowher is expected to remain out of coaching, quote-unquote, for a few more years, a source close to Cowher told ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. So maybe you don't cross it out with a Sharpie. Maybe you just cross it off with a ballpoint pen so you can still see the name. But if based on that, it doesn't sound like he wants to coach. And frankly, I don't blame him.
And again, with the number of openings that are already out there, you'd think that if he really did want to coach, there'd have been some itches going on.
Yeah, and you'd have at least heard him talking to a team the last couple years when there was an opening. I mean, you know, there was never like a sense that he even thought about it and was serious about it.
Anyway, that's enough for that one.
Again, and we'll see what happens. All right, everybody. 201-939-4513. Still busy on the phones. Andrew, Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what up?
Hello.
I did need that reason for my Bill Cowher comment. I met David Tyree. I already met him with you guys at the J-Fund, but Sunday night it was eerie because Ben Coughlin stepped down Monday, and Tyree laughed because I said a coach like Cowher or Gruden, they should take the Giants' job or wait, like don't take the Eagles' job, because people were talking about McAdoo and the Eagles. and I described the Eagles as a sleazy organization. He laughed, and Kurt Warner said it best, that the Giants, nothing but class from top to bottom.
You know, Andrew, in fairness to the Eagles, I know Giant fans hate Philadelphia. I've talked to that's dealt with the Eagles ownership and organization any way, shape, or form, they're actually one of the classier organizations of football, to be honest with you. So, quite frankly, and I don't mean to be rude to you, Andrew. You don't have a clue about how the Eagles operate. You might
know
about their fans, and you want to say something about their fans, that's cool. But you don't know anything about how they operate as an organization. They actually are a pretty well put together, you know, group down there, and they actually do generally do things the right way. So
I wasn't even thinking the fans. That's a whole nother. But I do know how they operate because they fired the coach before the season ended. The Giants would never do that because they're a class organization.
Well, it has happened.
And who would
once
you rather
earlier,
work for,
remember
Mr.
That,
Mara
but...
or Mr. Lurie? Lurie's a sleazy guy to bust that move, that maneuver.
Sometimes things happen that have nothing to do with class. Sometimes they happen with circumstances. Andrew, you better move on to another point because you're losing this one real quick.
And, Andrew, quite frankly, that actually might have helped Chip Kelly getting out a week early to try to figure out what his next move is. So what's your last point? Finish up.
I just want to say, too, the other day you were saying JPP came back, but he wasn't such a big deal. You know, but that was – we were assuming he was going to play healthy, JPP, and Cruz. And it was sad, like, that Coughlin stepped down, and one of the things that made me, you know, of course you want him to leave on a high note, but next year there might be just as many injuries. So in a way it made sense if you take the emotion out. Obviously he's a great coach. But one of the sad things on Facebook on the Giants say, Belichick, you know, spoke well of Coughlin. So we're never going to see a Belichick, Coughlin, Giants, Eli Manning, Tom Brady Super Bowl. So that was sad. But everybody's dumping on Jerry Reese. And you don't really know, like, in the draft room, even you guys are not in there. Mr. Mara has the final say, so you really don't know who pulls the trigger on the top draft pick.
Andrew, you're having a real tough time with your call today because you're just way off. Well, you're way off. I got to be honest. The GM with the Giants, in this organization, he makes the final call on the draft pick. The owner does not. This is not the Dallas Cowboys where Jerry Jones picks up the phone and does what he wants to do with his little card and pen. That's not the way it works here.
I'm not even sure that's how it works down in Dallas anymore based on what we've heard the last couple of
years.
His
son gets big time involved.
Well, yeah, he stops him.
Yeah. No, Dad, don't do it! No, Johnny Manziel,
now,
don't do it!
John Mara can do whatever he wants.
He can, but
he doesn't. That's not the way it works, by the way. And see, this is my fault. It's 2016. And sometimes I'm stupid.
this cow
stuff
is a year old?
Those quotes are from 2015, yes. And that's my fault. Dave Dominick, our fantastic producer over there, pointed it out to me.
Okay.
I forgot it just turned to 2016.
Well, so then we need to find some more fresh quotes.
Yes, there are no fresh quotes.
Based on those quotes and the fact that his name hasn't been anywhere.
Yes, that's my fault.
We're going to need to be convinced otherwise.
Sometimes I'm stupid.
Oh, or you can't read.
Well, no, I saw it. I just didn't click to me that it's 2016 already.
Okay.
That always, in the past, that's always happened to me. You know, when you're in school when you're in elementary, so you have to write the date on the top of your paper when you hand it to the teacher.
How about when you have to write checks to pay bills?
No, absolutely. I've screwed it up two or three times already, writing 2015 instead of 2016. So that's my bad, my fault.
Yes.
I take full responsibility for my mistake, all right? My fault. All right. We got three more calls before we say goodbye. I'm sure I'm getting killed on Twitter. I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure I'm getting murdered.
Please, by all means, go right ahead.
I'm sure I'm getting murdered. Murdered. All right, here we go. We got three calls. I'm going to get all you guys in, I promise. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, is this your first call since the Giants made their decision or no?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Go ahead. No,
no, it is. Since they made the decision, I'm disappointed. I mean, what can I tell you? You know, I wish it had turned out differently for Tom. I mean, I understand it all. I know the numbers, all that kind of thing. Just like Tom said, you put 2 6-10s together and people start worrying about why we didn't make it on third down. So, I understand all that. I wish he'd gotten another year. We said the offense was broken. We told Jerry we had to get it fixed. And we got the offense. He got the new coordinator came in. We drafted a little differently. We got some players. The offense got fixed.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
Len,
the funny thing, and you know,
why didn't he say this? Why not say the defense is broken? You know, get it fixed and give Tom one more year.
Well,
I mean,
Len,
he gave
honestly,
Spagnuolo 1 year, and the first thing Spagnuolo said is, "I'm not a miracle worker."
Len, honestly, remember that they did end up changing coordinators 2 years in a row. So you did have a change in defensive coordinator last year. And one other thing on McAdoo, just on the lighter side real quick, Len, how lucky is Ben McAdoo? He gets to start his career as an offensive coordinator. And what does he get under the Christmas tree when he walks in the door? Odell Beckham Jr. That doesn't hurt.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I know it doesn't hurt. But I wish they had said, you got 1 year, and you got one more year. Fix this defense.
I hear you.
Okay, that's not really what I called about. By the way, the Rock interview was really good, very good. And I thought the question, I don't know which one of you guys asked him this question, but I thought it was the key one. I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, what are they looking for? I mean, what are Jerry and you know, ownership looking for out of the head coach? And of the guys that we know now that we're aware of through Saturday anyway in terms of interviews, I mean, is there anything in common, anything that ties them together? I mean, or are we still trying to figure out what we're looking for?
Len, I think the guys that are doing the interviews know what they're looking for. I just don't think they put it on a memo and sent it out to the media.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. If you believe that there is some common thread that draws them to these folks, that's okay with me. I mean, I trust. I'm like Tom. I trust ownership.
Well, Len, I'll say this. I think the key quote from what John Mara said at his press conference on Tuesday: everything put aside, you're looking for the right man. So, as much as football acumen is important, and I think one of the callers earlier said this, I forget which one it was, you're looking for the best leader of men that can lead these guys, connect with them, and be the leader of the organization. I think that's as important as anything else when you decide who your next head coach is going to be.
I'd call Vince Lombardi, but he's not available.
I think we could throw the word motivator in there.
I
think Tom used that thing to get him ready to run through the door and go out there and, you know, get on the field and play. Let me add one thing to that, and I hope Mr. Mara and Jerry are thinking about this. This is not, and an earlier caller referred to this, to me, guys, This is not a physically tough football team. It's a very fragile football team in a lot of ways. For sure, not physically tough. I'm an NFC East guy. I'm a Northeast guy. I want people who come from that environment. I want to surround myself with people in leadership positions who come from that environment and that culture. You know, Paul, I don't want to get into how long we've been following this team, but I've probably seen 70 games in NFC East stadiums, not County Giants Stadium, 70 games over the years in NFC East Stadium. It takes a certain – Paul, you can attest to this, I think. John, too, because he goes there every year. It takes a certain mentality to go into those stadiums and come out of those locker rooms.
Len, in front of those crowds. I hear what you're saying, but I have to tell you this. Eric Flowers is from Florida, and he's about as tough as nails. You know, he will chew nuts and bolts for breakfast, spit them out, and then eat them again. That's how tough this kid is. Eli Manning is from the Bayou. He's not from New York or the Northeast, and he is tough as nails. He takes a pounding every week, and he keeps getting back up.
Well, I think what Len's saying, Odell Beckham
is as tough as nails.
He wants that attitude. I don't think necessarily need somebody from the region. You need somebody with that mentality. Like, for example, Ben McAdoo. And Len, thanks for the call. We got to run. We are over time. We got two calls I still got to do. Call back. More points. Me and Fields will be on tomorrow. We're happy to talk with you. You know, Ben McAdoo's a guy from Eastern Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania originally, right? Isn't that where Ben McAdoo grew up, in Western Pennsylvania?
I believe so.
That's a tough blue-collar area.
Oh, sure.
You know, you can get tough guys from anywhere. And Tom Coughlin did address this. One of the few, like, you know, rants, for lack of a better word, that Tom had during his speech was talking about how toughness has come out of the game a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And he hit a point walking out the door.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that, but what I'm saying is they don't necessarily have to be born and bred here to be tough as nails.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
And you're right. Absolutely.
And that was unless I was mistaken, I thought I caught that sentence in there, that they got to be from around here to be that kind of guy, And I had to take exception because, as I say, Eric Flowers is probably one of the toughest, gutsiest guys in that locker room right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's from Florida. So that's all.
Imagine how tough he is down there.
Probably trampled all over neighbors' yards, and they didn't say anything.
Really pull that one.
I don't know.
He's from Homer City, Pennsylvania. Is that the name of his hometown? Ben McAdoo in Pennsylvania? Homer City. Must be big Simpsons fans down there.
Could you imagine, though, seriously, Eric Flowers growing up in his neighborhood in Florida, playing football, and the ball goes over the fence to the neighbor's yard, and Eric goes over to get the ball. The neighbor's not going out there chasing
him. First
of all,
do you think he's going over the fence or he's going through the fence?
Probably through it. Yeah.
All right, guys, we're already over, so we're going to have to only give you guys about 60 to 90 seconds on the way out here. John and Manasquan, make your point. What do you got for me, pal? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hi.
I think the last three seasons really kind of boiled down to three main issues. The rash of injuries, the lack of strong leadership, not enough guys like Tuck and Strahan on the team. Eli's a good leader, but he's a quiet leader. And the talent void, especially on defense.
Yeah, look, I don't think you would lack of leadership at the coaching position. I don't think that's what you meant. And I think... You know, I think there's been so many new people in and out of here and so many young players that you haven't really had a chance for a leader to develop in the locker room. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I didn't mean coaches. I meant
right.
Players.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And then one other point. I know Paul doesn't want to talk about coaches right now, but I just want to throw one name out there that I think hasn't really gotten a fair shake is Ken Whisenhunt. I think he's a good coach, and he could be a good candidate for the Giants.
He would be one of those recycled guys.
Yes.
That would fit into the hypothetical we said before.
His record
how
looks
do you
poor,
grade him?
But how do you grade him?
How do you
right.
grade him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's had a fair shake at, you know, he seems to be getting hired and then fired after one or two years. So it seems like he hasn't really had a fair shot.
I will say this for him. He was spent part of his career with the Steelers. That's a pretty tough town.
And I think I think
he's
off.
Protege of Bill Cowher. So
sure.
Tough guy.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think the way he runs his offense would certainly match Eli Manning's skill set. I think that's for sure, throwing it down the field. Eli would love doing that.
Yeah, he seems like a strong leader.
All right, John. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And that again, that's one of the things. How do you judge Ken Whisenhunt? You know what I mean? Because the record's terrible, but could he have won with the teams that he had?
I don't know.
It's a great question. Rick in Connecticut. Rick, what's up?
I am done with this coach talk. Can we talk safeties for a second?
Sure, go ahead, Rick.
Safeties!
Safety position. All right.
A lot of unknowns there, too.
So we have Michael Thompson. We have Nat Burhey, the missile. We have Bennett Jackson. We have all these injuries in the preseason.
And Justin Curry.
You know, we're not going to draft and develop another guy with what we have on the roster, assuming all these guys come back healthy enough to play. Correct. So my question is, I know you can't comment on people who are, you know, under contracts with other teams. Say a guy like Eric Weddle, you know, I would almost say he's underrated considering five All-Pro selections but only three Pro Bowl selections. You know, obviously he's very talented. He could bring a veteran leadership to the locker room. You know, he's 31, but, you know, obviously the Brandon Merriweather experiment kind of failed a little bit. You know, maybe he helped Collins a bit, but we need someone who can provide coverage, you know, a coverage all-around leadership in the locker room. What are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I haven't watched Eric Weddle on tape. I don't know how much he has left at 31, so I can't speak to that. But I do think your theory in general about needing to bring in an experienced safety that can lead and cover back there, Paul, is right 100% dart in the middle of the bullseye, right in the middle of the dartboard.
Yeah, whoever that person is, we'll call him Safety X, he fits that description.
And if the guy you mentioned does fit that description, and I think the Giants understand that they need someone back there that can lead these young guys, like you said, I think you made an absolutely fantastic point.
Thanks
all
for
right,
the call.
Hey. And Schmelk, I got to say,
real
you know,
fast.
Odell Beckham popping out of a present underneath the Christmas tree, you know, that's a very vivid image.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, you know,
he could be in his pads and a helmet jumping out of a present under the Christmas tree, you know?
I very much like the potential of Landon Collins, but you don't want him being the veteran safety of the pair.
He's
only in his second year. It's not
fair to him.
Not at all.
And it hurts
not
his development, to be quite honest. You want him to learn from somebody that's been around and done it a little bit.
No question about that.
Everybody, great job on the phones. Thanks for joining us. Me and Feagles, I'm throwing pens tomorrow. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmuck. Stay tuned to Giants.com. com as we continue the Giants search for a brand new head coach. You want the real stuff? Check it out on Giants.com. We'll have it for you there.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.